Welcome to Revelation. I'm glad you've joined me today in the classroom of the air as we discover God's truth for today. I believe the Lord is going to bless you real good this morning as we hear the Word of God and receive the touch of His Spirit in our lives. You see, friends, God cares about every area of your life. He knows all that you're passing through, and He's here today to lift you and help you up through the power of His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, I want to speak especially to those who need a word of encouragement about their work situation. This month, I'm teaching on the topic Work Matters, and this is the second lesson in our series. And I know that there are many who are watching and listening today who are facing challenges on the job. Now, it didn't start out like that. I believe you probably started out with a dream for your life and great expectations for your career. You wanted to make something special out of your life. But as the years have gone by, reality has set you back. You've not achieved your goals. You've ended up working a job you never wanted. Your expectations have been cut short. You hoped and dreamed to have meaningful work, but instead, you're just marking time. Or perhaps you don't even have work. No door opens. You feel like a cast-off, hidden from view and forgotten. But I have good news for all of you this morning. Your dream may have died, but God is the God of the resurrection. The plans you have for your life may have gone awry, but God can set them straight. And when things don't seem to be going well, God can redeem any situation. When you do business with God, He makes all things beautiful. When you build your life on Him, He will give you true success. That's the good news in our message this morning, a message titled Doing Business with God. We're going to see that the most important element in success at work is not man's recognition or human achievement. It's the presence and favor of God. So let's begin our teaching today by reading our scripture text found in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. These verses are on your television screen, and I'd like to ask you to read them out loud with me. Are you ready? Here we go. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. May God bless the reading of His word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything you do can be done for the Lord. He doesn't differentiate between the type of work. He only distinguishes the motive of your work. If you sweep for God's glory, you'll be eternally rewarded. If you teach for God's glory, you'll be eternally rewarded. But if you preach for your own glory, you lose your eternal reward. For the fact is, you're not working for a company. You're not working for a shop owner or a hotel manager or for a bank. When you're a child of God, you're working for Jesus. You're not just serving customers. You're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you realize it's not just a job, it's a spiritual act of worship, then it brings you to the place of doing business with God. No matter what you do or where you work, Jesus is your boss. All business for a Christian should be God's business. And that's our first truth today. Doing business with God means God is the foundation of my work. Doing business with God means that He forms the centerpiece of all of my job. That's the lesson we learned from one of the most successful men who ever lived. So beginning today, we're going to look at the life of Joseph from the Old Testament to see how he became so successful. Now, there are many lessons we can learn from the life of Joseph, but what we're going to focus on most about his life is his work life, how he succeeded in his job. Our story is found in Genesis 37 and 39 to 41. Here we find the story of Joseph. Now, it's too long to read the entire story, so I'm going to give you the Revelation Television abridged version in 60 seconds. Are you ready? Here we go. Joseph was the most beloved son of his father. He had dreams of greatness. God was with him and had a great destiny for his life. But his brothers were jealous of him. They hated him, so they threw him into a pit and sold him as a slave. But even in slavery, God was with Joseph. He went to work for a man named Potiphar. Joseph proved faithful and was promoted to the highest rank in the home. But then Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. Joseph resisted, and so she lied about him and said he tried to rape her. Joseph was thrown into prison. He went from privilege to the pit to the prison. But even in prison, God was with him. God was not finished with him. Joseph worked hard and became a trusted assistant to the head of the prison. Finally, God gave Joseph a great promotion. The king of Egypt had a dream. Joseph interpreted the dream and was made prime minister of the whole land. Later, his brothers came and he was reconciled to them. He forgave them and helped them out. And that's the story of Joseph in 60 seconds. Now, there are many lessons we can learn from the life of Joseph. His story is amazing. His faithfulness to God and his grace to his brothers are examples to all of us. But what we're going to focus on in this series is about his work life, how he succeeded in his job. And the fact is, Joseph's story is an encouragement to all of us. He started out in the pit, but God was with him and raised him up. He became a slave, but God was with him and the Lord delivered him. And see, friends, the fact is, no matter how far down you are, when God's hand is upon you, he will lift you up. You may suffer in spite of, or even because of, your faithfulness to God. You may suffer persecution, but nothing can keep you from God's destiny for your life. Your mistakes, your enemies, even Satan himself cannot keep you from God's destiny for your life. No matter who's against you, when God is for you, then you are on the winning side. For one with God is a majority. And God was with Joseph. Listen to Genesis 37, 2 and 3 and 5. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. And see, friend, when God is with you, everything you do succeeds. When God's favor is on your life, doors open, and those around you receive the overflow. So here's what you need to know today. Your circumstances are not the determining factor in your work. God is. Doing business with God means he is in control, and he takes responsibility for your life. For any life wholly yielded to him. That's why we need to stop focusing on our circumstances and start focusing on our God. See, the fact is, if God is on your side, then it doesn't matter where you started. When God is with you, it doesn't matter what obstacles you might face. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was down and out with nothing to show for all his dreams, but God was with him. But God was with him. And when God is with you, you can overcome. When God is with you, you can prevail. When God is with you, you can achieve the impossible and experience the supernatural. You can walk in favor and spread the power of God's blessings all around you. Men may knock you down, but God will lift you up. So stop focusing on your circumstances and start focusing on God. Put your eyes on the Lord, for he is the source of all wealth and honor and success. It is his sovereign choice to bless you and favor you. That's why I love the verses found in 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. Listen to God's word. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. The most strategic thing you can do in your business right now is honor God. Put him first, because God controls wealth and promotion. Your promotion is not in the hands of a CEO. It's in God's hands. Your increment is not at the discretion of a board of directors. It's at God's discretion. The most important thing you can do in your job right now is honor God. Lift him up. I'm not talking about using God to get your way. I'm not talking about giving God lip service and then thinking you can bribe him to bless your work. I'm talking about making Jesus Christ and his will the center of your life. Listen to Matthew 6:33. Be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all the other things. Friend, the most important aspect of any work is to be devoted to God and work with integrity. That means more than anything, you will rise no matter how low you start, no matter how they put you down, no matter how people persecute you, lie against you. If you will maintain your integrity in Christ, you will rise. Nothing can keep you down. For if God wants you to have the contract, you will have it. If God wants you to be promoted, you will be promoted. If it doesn't happen, then God has something better for you. God will get you to where you're supposed to be. We have a strategic God. But those facts alone don't mean you'll automatically succeed. God can favor you, but there's a role you have to play too. You see, Joseph didn't just sit around and wait for God's blessings. He made the most of the opportunities God gave him. And that's our second truth today. Doing business with God means making the most of every opportunity. Now, you may be thinking, oh, Reverend, please, you've missed it here. Joseph didn't have opportunities. He had setbacks. He didn't have a chance to progress, and neither do I. And at first glance, it may appear like that. Joseph didn't know anyone. He was a stranger in Egypt and a slave. He didn't have a career that he could promote. He didn't have anyone mentoring him or helping him. He didn't print complimentary cards. And yet, when we look carefully, we see an amazing truth. Joseph didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't sit around crying over his lost chances. He believed the opportunity was still open. He simply got up and made the most of the opportunities he had. You see, Joseph realized an amazing truth. Making the most of every opportunity simply means being faithful every day, in every situation, doing your best all the time, being diligent in the daily tasks. The problem for most of us is we are too busy chasing opportunity to make the most of our daily opportunity. We think the grass is always greener somewhere else, so we're always on the lookout for a place that is better. But rather than always looking for a place that is better, we need to make where we are a better place. When sold into slavery, Joseph used the opportunity to serve his master wholeheartedly. Everywhere Joseph went, the place became better. Things ran smoother. Work was done quicker. Jobs became easier. There was prosperity and success. By using what he had where he was, God gave him a promotion. Listen to Genesis 39:6. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. See, Joseph could have felt sorry for himself. He could have tried to take revenge on the Egyptians. He could have said, why should I work hard? They're not even paying me. My situation is not fair. Why should I do anything for anybody? I'll just look out for myself. But if he'd had that attitude, God would not have blessed him. He would not have been elevated to a higher position. We would never have heard his name. But instead, he sees the opportunity and starts working with all his heart. And God rewards him. And the same thing will happen to you. The same opportunity is available to you, no matter who you are or where you work. God speaks to you today in Ephesians 5:15-17. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. See, even when things look bleak, there is opportunity. Even when it seems that others have advantage over you, there's always opportunity for the child of God. As long as you have breath and as long as you have God, then you have opportunity. For God has not left you here without hope. It may not be easy to see, but God is the God of opportunity. So pray and ask him to show you, and he will open your eyes. Reminds me of the story of a man who owned a shop selling electronics. His shop was in a new building, and when he rented the place, he took the middle store on the road level. There was an empty store on his right and an empty store on his left. So imagine his shock when the next week another electronics seller came and set up his business in the store on his left. And imagine his despair when another electronics seller came to set up his store on the right. Now the first man was stuck in the middle between two competitors, one on each side. But to make matters worse, the seller on the left came one day and put up a huge sign over a store, and the sign said, "Best deals here." And then the next day, the seller on the right came and put up a huge sign that said, "Lowest prices here." Well, the man in the middle was panicked. He didn't know what to do. But he decided to make the most of every opportunity. So he came the third day and put up his own huge sign over his door, and it read, "Enter here." Sometimes you have to look for opportunity. But when you're doing business with God, you can trust him to open your eyes and to see the right step to take. And when you do your business well, it will lead to promotion. Listen to Proverbs 22:29. "Do you see a man who's good at his work? He will stand in front of kings. He will not stand in front of men who are not important." The Bible tells us that it's diligence at work that opens the door of opportunity. Opportunity doesn't open the door to better work. Better work opens the door for opportunity. And here's the key truth. If you'll work wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ and diligently work wherever you are, then he will raise you up. He's promised that when you are faithful in your work, you will be brought before important men. That's what happened to Joseph. Everywhere he went, he worked as unto the Lord, and his diligent work brought him before great men, till he finally stood before the king of Egypt, Pharaoh himself. Your reputation for hard work and faithfulness will open doors for you. That's why Proverbs 28:19 and 20 says, "Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty." A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Did you hear what the Bible said? A faithful person will be blessed. In another part of Proverbs, the Bible says, "The diligent shall prosper." And that brings us to our third truth today. Doing business with God means working with integrity. To excel at work, you have to work with integrity. To make the most of every opportunity is to perform every job with excellence for the glory of God. We Christians, of all people, should be people of integrity. The world should be seeking to do business with the children of God more than anyone else. We should have a reputation in the church for doing the best work and giving the best service with honesty and integrity in all we do. For see, if you're working for God, then you will not compromise no matter what. You will fear God in all you do. Whether people see your integrity or not, you will remain consistent in your character. That's what we see in the life of Joseph. When his earthly master was away, he was still acting with integrity. He realized that he wasn't serving Potiphar, but he was serving God. We see this in Genesis 39:6-9. The Bible says Joseph was very handsome and well-built. And after a while, his boss's wife started to lust after him. She tried to seduce him, but Joseph refused. Listen to his words. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He's held back nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." Joseph refused to take advantage of his boss, even though the boss was not around. And friends, we need to learn from his example. For if you only do a good job when your boss is watching you, you lack integrity. If the minute he turns his back, you slack in your work, you lack integrity. Your boss may not see, but God sees. And integrity is how you behave when you think no one else is watching you. If a security camera were on you every minute of your workday, would something change about your work? If you knew every phone call at work would be overheard, every email would be read, and every website you visit would be seen by your boss, would you change your emails, your phone call, and your online surfing? If you knew your boss would hear every comment you made about him, would you guard your words? But the fact is, there is a camera on you all day. It's a heavenly camera that captures and records your every act. God hears every phone call, he reads every email, and he sees every website you visit. He knows not only what you say, but what you think in your heart. And if your service at work is actually service to God, how will your work be judged? For whether you like it or not, your daily activity at work will be judged by God. That's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15. There's going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that person will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping from a fire. On April 24th, just a few months ago, at 9 a.m. in the morning, an 8-story commercial building in Bangladesh collapsed. Over 1,100 people lost their lives that day, and 2,500 were injured. Since that time, the government of Bangladesh has been investigating what caused the collapse of the building. It wasn't an earthquake that struck it down. It wasn't a wind that blew it over. There was no terror attack or explosion or bomb. What the government discovered was that hundreds of people didn't do their jobs with integrity. Lack of integrity caused the Reina Plaza to collapse. The building was built on a swamp, so the building inspectors and town planning had failed. The building was approved for 6 stories, but the owner built 8, so his greed failed. The masons mixed too much sand and not enough cement, so the concrete failed. The iron rods were defective. The masons didn't use enough mortar, and the list goes on and on. I'm sure the owners thought they could get away with it. I'm sure that the government officials, who were likely bribed, thought it wouldn't hurt anybody. I'm sure the workers who did substandard work thought no one would ever know. But now the whole world knows, and 1,100 people died tragically as a result of people who did not work with integrity. You may think it doesn't matter. You may think no one knows. You may think you can cut corners. You can cheat your boss. You can leave out the essentials. You can steal, lie, and cheat. But there are consequences to every action. So be sure your sin will find you out. You may cheat 100 people, but the day of reckoning will come. The money you took for your fake investment must be repaid. The people you cheated will have justice. The bill will come due. God will require it from all of us. Even if you're not exposed in this life, you will be exposed in the life to come. Every bribe you've given in the dark, every lie you've whispered in secret, every dishonest job you performed in the guise of good work will be exposed. You will answer for them all. Doing business with God means you do it with integrity. For you cannot ask God to bless a dishonest business. You can't seek His favor for falsehood and deceit. You can't fast and pray and blast in tongues for breakthroughs when you're using corrupt business practices. If you have to use manipulation, trickery, and deceit to succeed in business, then you're not doing business with God. And He won't bless the work of the flesh. So you have to choose today. Will you trust God and do business His way, or trust in your flesh and use carnal means to get ahead? I challenge you to renew your commitment to do your work as unto the Lord. I challenge you today to dedicate your business, your job, your career to God. I challenge you to make Him the foundation of everything you do. Make the most of every opportunity. Be faithful in everything. No task is too small to do it as unto Him, and to do it with integrity. Dear friends, I pray that the truth of this message will sink down deep into your heart today, and that you will spend time talking to God, repenting of your lack of integrity, and committing your work and your ways into His hands. In fact, let me pray with you right now before we close today's lesson. Almighty and everlasting Father, we know from your word that when we do business with you, you promised to bless us. We see the example of Joseph, Lord, and we know we should be like him, to work hard, to work with integrity, to work as unto you. Forgive us for where we've fallen short, and help us to renew ourselves and rededicate ourselves to serving you in our jobs. We thank you and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I hope to see you on this station at this time, on this day, next week, for our third lesson in the Work Matters teaching series. Until then, may God richly bless you, and goodbye for now.